ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana, text number 9. Tam tikshana chittam ativama cheshtitam vikshyantara kosha parichadat Sivat, Parichada Sivat,
Parichada Sivat.
Okay. Varastriyam,
Varastriyam,
Tatprabhaya,
Tatprabhaya,
Cha, Darshite,
Darshite,
Nirikshayamane,
Nirikshayamane,
Nirikshamane,
Nirikshamane,
Janani,
Janani,
Hi, Atishtatam,
Atishtatam,
Tam tikshachittam ativam chestitam.
Tam tikshachittam ativam chestitam.
Tam tikshachittam ativam chestitam.
Tam tikshachittam ativam chestitam.
Vikshyantara kosha parichada sivat.
Vikshyantara kosha
parichada sivat.
Vikshyantara kosha parichada sivat.
Varastriyam tat prabhaya cha darshite.
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 Nirikshamane jananihyas. Atishtatam
Nirikshamane janani yatishtatam.
Nirikshamane janani yatishtatam.
Nirikshamane janani yatishtatam.
Tam, that, or putana rakshasi. Tikshna chittam, having a very fierce heart for killing the child. Ativama cheshtitam.
Although she was trying to treat the child
better than a mother. Viksha antara. Seeing her within the room. Kosha parichada asivat.
Kosha parichada asivat.
Kosha parichada.
Kosha parichada
asivat.
Asivat.
Like a sharp sword.
Like a sharp sword.
Within a soft sheath. You know what a sheath is? Huh? You put the sword in this, the sheath. Varastriyam,
Varastriyam,
the very beautiful woman,
woman.
Tat
Prabhaya
by her influence.
Cha
also.
Darshite
being overwhelmed.
Nirikshamane
we're seeing.
Janani
the two mothers.
He
indeed.
Atishtatam
they remain silent
without prohibiting.
Translation.
Putana Rakshasi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus, she resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheath. Although seeing her within the room, Yashoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her, but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother. Responsibly, please repeat.
Putana Rakshasi's heart
was fierce and cruel,
but she looked like a very affectionate mother.
Thus, she resembled a sharp sword
in a soft sheet.
Although seeing her within the room,
Yashoda and Rohini,
overwhelmed by her beauty,
did not stop her,
but remained silent.
Because she treated the child like a mother.
It may be noted here that Rohini is not Rohini.
Just for your information, it's Rohini, not Rohini.
I know, we know Rohini Sutta, but it's Rohini. Long I on the end.
Purport.
Although Putana was an outsider, and although she personified fierce death, because the determination within her heart was to kill the child, when she directly came and placed the child on her lap to offer the child her breast, to suck, the mothers were so captivated by her beauty that they did not prohibit her. Sometimes a beautiful woman is dangerous because everyone, being captivated by external beauty, maya mohita, is unable to understand what is in her mind. Those who are captivated by the beauty of the external energy are called maya mohita. Mohitam navijanati mamebhya param avyayam.
Bhagavad Gita 7:13. And nate vidu
swadagatim hi vishnu durashaya ye bahirat manina.
Srimad Bhagavatam 7:531.
Here, of course, the two mothers, Rohini and Yashoda, were not maya, mohita, deluded by the external energy. But to develop the pastimes of the Lord, they were captivated by yoga maya. Such maya moha is the action of yoga maya.
Tam tikshachitam ativam achestitam vikshantarakosha parichadasivat varastriyam tat pravayacha darshite nirikshamane janani hiyatishtatam.
Putana Rakshasi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus she resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheath. Although seeing her within the room, Yashoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother. Generally, women are very protective of their offspring. If you've ever tried to approach some kittens when the mother is around, or any animal actually, you'll find that the mother becomes very angry, or dogs, puppies. The female will start growling and show her fangs, you know. They don't want to allow anyone near their offspring. They fear some danger. They fear some harm being done. So one would think that not only one mother, but two mothers right there in the courtyard, Rohini and Yashoda, very, very conscientious about their children, Krishna and Balaram. Sometimes we find, or we may have experienced, that our parents were not so concerned for our well-being. But certainly we read about Yashoda. She would run out into the fields when it was time for Krishna's breakfast, and if Krishna was out playing, she, or lunch, whatever, and if Krishna was late, she would run out and say, "Krishna, come home. It's past time for your meal." And just running out and thinking of her child like that, her breasts would fill up with milk. Generally, you see that nature's arrangement, a woman may have a certain size of breasts, but when they become pregnant or when they deliver, their breasts are always much bigger because they've been developed by nature so that they can hold milk for the child. So, out of affection for the child, actually these breasts become bigger, and milk, it's all inspired by the woman's affection. Milk is produced. It's psychological and physiological, both. It's a combination. Of course, there are hormonal changes and this and that. But if the mother's not at all interested in feeding the child, then the physiological changes don't take place. But here was Mother Yashoda, very concerned for her child. And Rohini also. Everyone loved Krishna and Balaram. And Yashoda loved Balaram, and Rohini loved Krishna almost equally. And therefore one is surprised that they could allow a demon right in their midst to just walk in, Hari Bol, walk right up to Krishna and grab him and poison him. You know, one can understand if there was some poison, a snake put in a basket of flowers or concealed, or in some way you think of someone's being poisoned, just like Milosevic now. He's very much afraid of being poisoned. Therefore, although he needed to go to the hospital, he refused to go, because he thought that it would give more opportunity to enemies to poison him. But this was not at all clandestine or undercover. But Mohini, Putana, she was such a good sorcerer, such a powerful mystic or witch or whatever, or whichever, she could create her body exquisitely beautiful. And this is the material energy. Although there is no beauty in the material world, because it is a perverted reflection, whatever you find to be beautiful in the material world, it has its downside. It has a side to it, for example, a beautiful body. If you look just under the skin of the beautiful body, you'll find abominable things that would make you vomit if you could see them. In fact, anyway, you don't even have to see them. People can tell you stories. And you'll say, don't tell me that while I'm eating, Just the concept of it is so appalling. So, Prabhupada here, in the purport, he says that this is the general case in the material world. Forget Rohini and Yashoda, all of us get bewildered by the so-called beauty of material energy, and it's bewilderment because we don't see it for what it is. It may be relatively more attractive than something else, but it really is a relative consideration. Just like people consider food, different kinds of food stuff to be, this is more tasty, that is less enjoyable. So we were out for a walk yesterday, and we walked by that infamous shop in the park where they sell horse burgers. I think they're horse burgers, aren't they? Horse, yeah. My God, I mean, that's unique to think of eating a horse. People have been eating cows for a long time, but horses? But, I don't know, people just put a little ketchup on it and put it between two pieces of bread and they think it's great. Put little chips and a beer or something. They're having a good time eating something that's abominable. They don't even know what part of the horse the meat's coming from. It could be coming from the rump, the backside. This is called the rump, the bum. Plain English, could be coming from anywhere. They don't know. Just package it nicely. Material nature. This is the trick. This is the illusion. This is Maya. We're bewildered by Durga Devi's tricks. She has two potencies, Avaranatmika Shakti and Prachapatmika Shakti. She covers us, and if we try to get free from her grips, then she throws us back down again. Especially, we look at a so-called beautiful body, male or female. Women are just as bewildered by men's bags of stool. Look at those muscles. That's all it is. It's just muscle. If the skin weren't there and all you saw was the muscle hanging out, how, would you really be attracted to it? It's got to be covered by a layer of skin. Nobody, oh, look at that muscle tissue hanging out of that man. It's so beautiful. You know. Arnold Schwarzenegger has all those tissues hanging out of him. So, what is the attraction? The attraction is sex. Pongsa Striya. Mithuni Bhav. This preoccupation. We want an experience that will relieve all of our pain and suffering. And we have foolishly thought that sex is it. But in comparison to what we can enjoy by purifying our consciousness, the Bhagavatam says, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham ituccham. Maitunadi. This is also interesting. Maitunadi. Adi means etc. So it not only means the act of sex, rubbing skin, itching, it means reading sex literature, talking about sex, putting sex on hoardings all around town. So this is grihamedi sukh, the happiness of a grossly bewildered person. And is tucham, is very insignificant in comparison to what we want, what will satisfy us. A man becomes very excited during sex life, and his adrenaline is pumping, and he starts pumping, and then he shoots out his semen, and he's feeling some pleasure, and then nothing. Then he's exhausted. Then what? Nothing. The woman is excited, and then the man conks out, and she's frustrated. His appetite, her appetite is bigger. Everybody's frustrated in sex. It doesn't deliver. And in order to, there's no, like, we read about the demigods, they have sex and there's no offspring, there are no children, there are no venereal diseases, there's no sense of morality, they don't feel any guilty conscience or anything. Done in a very sophisticated way. For example, Ganga Devi, one of the conditions she made upon the father, Paratna, was it? The father of Bhishma? Shantanu. Yeah, one of the conditions she made was that I should never see you naked. I'll be your wife, but I should never see you naked. And so she was killing all his children in the river. It was a leela, but he didn't understand. She wasn't a vicious woman, you know, committing genocide, murder, infanticide, actually, killing children. No, it was, she was liberating these demigods that had been cursed. She was giving them liberation, but he didn't understand. And finally, he just couldn't stand it any longer, and he jumped up out of bed chasing after you, harsh woman. And she said, oh, I'm seeing you naked. So our marriage is over. She disappeared. Because in the higher planets, they don't need to show off their bodies by running naked. They have such a, relatively speaking, good program for sex. But even they are not satisfied. Even they are not satisfied. Even they have to suffer eventually. What to speak of us? So this kind of happiness is tucham. Kanduya nena karyor eva dukkha dukkham. We get so much suffering from it. So, maya mohita, someone who's bewildered by this external energy, such a person is taking a big chance, allowing yourself. We can withdraw ourselves. There's enough guidance in scripture that we can get free from Maya's clutches. But we have to create a society where we are aware of the enemy and the strength of the enemy. Just see Chanakya Pandit, great teacher of moral instruction, Brahmana. He says, Matra svasra duhitrava navi viktashano bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvangshan apikashati. The senses are so powerful that one should not associate with a member of the opposite sex, especially in a lonely place. Very dangerous to allow yourself to be compromised in that condition, either woman or man. If you find by some mistake or some arrangement or whatever that you're alone, then you should immediately rectify the situation. You should be fearful because the senses are so powerful. They can forcibly carry away a man, the mind of a man of discrimination. Even one's mother, sister, daughter, it's not inconceivable, believe me. It may be in your country not such a big thing, but then your country is only 2 million people. There are 6.5 other billion people in the world, and in America it's a big thing, 300 million people, highly developed network of activities of sense gratification. It happens. Child prostitution, child pornography, child abuse. It has happened in ISKCON. It's so sad. We should cry that in our wonderful institution that was created by Prabhupada, and he gave us so many instructions, but somehow we weren't careful, and children have been abused by people who maybe, and I know some of them, at one time it seemed they were pedophiles, but they were under control. Not all of them joined as predators, but some of them were actually trying, sincere devotees. Who are we getting? Who's coming to see the deities? Who's coming to the Sunday program? Do we check people at the door? Are you a homosexual? Out. You can't come. Are you a pedophile? Are you a communist? Only pure devotees allowed in here. No, we can't. How are you going to check people? How are you going to know? We open our doors to everyone. And people come, they get attracted, and then later on, they're given an opportunity to be alone, and their desires come out, therefore, so powerful that we have to guard against this. We should not be victims of Maya. Putana used this. Just see how the demons use our preoccupation to defeat us. And conversely, if we're not bewildered, if we're not Maya Mohita, then the demons cannot touch us. Then we can have our society. Then we will go from strength to strength. Then we will get the maximum number of people seeking shelter come and join. We will have a lobby. We will have strength. But it all depends upon our internal strength. Of course, if we have to protect our temples or to establish some type of sanity, the principles of goodness in Kali Yuga, we are prepared to also fight. Yudhyasva Vigata Jara, that was spoken to a Kshatriya. Stand and fight. So we are prepared to fight, but first we should fight against our enemies. Lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, kam, krodh, loha, lobh, moha, mada, matsaya. Krishna consciousness is for those who are near matsara, who are not captivated by material energy, who are not bewildered by lust, anger, greed. People who know Svarthagatim, the demons, Nate Vidu Svarthagatim, he Vishnu. Bahir Ayata Manina. Bahir. External. Ayata Manina. Bewildered by their minds. A nice example given here. A sharp sword within a soft sheath. Or another English example is a wolf in sheep's clothing. In other words, things that appear innocent can sometimes be the most dangerous and poisonous to our spiritual life. For example, we are encouraged very strongly to attend the morning program. Well, this is in Slovenian, but in English. You've seen this before. It was on your bulletin board. Maybe some of you didn't see it. Some citations excerpted from Srila Prabhupada's letters. You must see that they strictly follow the regulative principles, the four prohibitions, as well as the devotional practices of rising early, morning bath, putting on tilak, attending Mangalarti, chanting japa 16 rounds, and attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is the duty of all my initiated disciples, whether they are big or small. So it's not that someone becomes very advanced and they don't have to rise early in the morning. They may attend all of the morning program, Mangalarti, or they may be engaged in study. But the point is, everyone should rise early and chant 16 rounds and attend Bhagavatam class. And there are many, many statements here. It's not even, well, that was an instruction given by Prabhupada at a particular time to a particular group, so we can overlook that. Devotees are very expert at this now. Kala Desha Patra, but we don't have, we're in a different time. But no, there's so many instructions here, but you just can't ignore it. All men who live in the devotee rooms must attend Mangal Arati or starve. A letter written to the devotees in Bombay. I remember I was there. Some Prabhupada was going around to all the rooms, a tour of our quarters there, and so there was some discussion about some rooms that devotees were living there, but they weren't attending the programs. So Prabhupada said they should, if they don't attend them, they shouldn't be fed, shouldn't get any prasadam. Two ways to, well, one sure way to get rid of an unwanted guest is to not feed him. So these are things that can help us. Putana was very powerful, very fierce, cruel. And that's what Maya is. Maya is actually very cruel. If you've ever seen one of those films about, like National Geographic, or sometimes they have TV channels where they show nature, and you see, you know, what's going, oh, nature's so beautiful, and then you go a little deeper and you see a snake eating a frog, and you see this animal eating that one, and a spider killing something else, and you know, it's very vicious in nature. It may have a lot of colors to it, but it's very vicious. There's the law of the jungle is the law of survival of the fittest. And there's no mercy. There's nothing like mercy. And so, very fierce and cruel, but this cruel, fierce Rakshasi, or cruel, fierce material nature, can be defeated by Krishna, who is Yad Bibeti Swayam Bhayam. He is feared by fear personified. And actually it said, Yan Nama Vivaso Granan Apana Sangshritim Goram Yan Nama Vivaso Granan. If we simply chant, now, how do we have to chant? Completely free from offenses? No. This verse says even Nama Vasa will do. Someone who's chanting because someone induced them or tricked them to chant, they can become eligible to achieve liberation. They get an opportunity, although Maya is very powerful and very fearful. If you just chant Krishna's names, somehow, always keep your life in such a way that you'll be chanting Hare Krishna, or near the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, somehow or other. I remember one of my god brothers. He was one of the very first devotees to join. And he was a young boy, joined at about 16 or 17 in New York. And he was part of the hippie movement. And he had tapes, and at that time, they didn't have cassettes. They had reel-to-reel. You know, this reel, it's very ancient. Probably find them in museums now. Anyway, reels. And, you know, if you had a tape recorder at all, it was a reel-to-reel tape. And, you know, whatever you had, it was all on one reel. So there'd be a lot of stuff in succession, one after the other. And you probably didn't know what was there or where it was on, you know, like 27 inches along the tape, you know, you'll find, no. It was very hard to go to any particular place. So anyway, he joined, and ostensibly he took all his tapes and everything and was recording Prabhupada's lectures and speaking and this and that. And he served Prabhupada nicely, and when he was about 19 or so, he took sannyas. It was too early, but he wanted it, he pushed for it. His older New York friends, like Brahmananda and Gargamuni, had been pushed into taking sannyas, and so he also wanted, he got. And he was apakka, tyakva svadharman. Tatvo patetato yadi. It was unripe. Kacha. Apaka means kacha, unripe. So he fell down. And he went back to his drugs and took all his possessions with him, recorded music and everything, and he was listening one day. He was very much under the influence of some intoxication, and he was lying down and listening to all this music. But there had been a portion of the tape that he didn't erase, which had Prabhupada speaking on it very strongly. So he was listening, I don't know, some Jonathan Winter or Moody Blues or somebody, you know. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada comes on and starts preaching. And it just completely, as we say, blew his mind. He somehow got a rejuvenated spirit. And he came back, and I remember I was in New York when he came back, and he started rendering devotional service and serving all the Vaishnavas, and was very humble. For a year or so, he did really well. Didn't last. So, even if accidentally, somehow or other, you keep in contact with Krishna, with the name of Krishna, the chanting of Krishna, the discussion of Krishna, anything Krishna, then you can keep yourself free from this maya mohita, by which a witch may come and poison you if you're captured by maya mohita. So I'll stop there. Is there any comments?
Synonym
says Putana was better than a mother. Yeah. So it seems that the meaning was yoga mind. It wasn't ordinary mind, but yoga mind. So she was better than ordinary. Although she was trying to treat the child better than a mother, ativama
chishtitam. Did you please comment?
Huh?
Did you please comment on that?
Well, there's a saying in Bengali, Ati Bhakti Chorarera Lakshana. Too much bhakti is the sign of a thief. In other words, someone will come to do some mischief and they'll make a show of being very advanced just to get your trust. And then they'll run off with the deity jewels or something. Good thing we keep plastic. So, Putana really, she knew what she had to do. And so she acted, her demeanor was such that she was almost melodramatic. Oh, I must feed baby Krishna. Come on, baby. Don't bluff me. But no, she wanted to fool Rohini and Yashoda. So the Kosha Parichada Asivat. There's Ativama Chestitam. Now Kosha Parichada Asivat. Like a sharp sword within a soft sheath. So you're trying to be a soft sheath. A beautiful soft sheath, but inside. You know, talking about swords and soft sheath, Radhika the other day asked about in class how... I haven't found how big Krishna is, by the way, yet. I'm on to it, but I haven't found any information yet. But anyway, if you go to any museum, especially in India I've seen, I don't know other places, but you go back 800,000 years and you'll see huge swords. You know, and if men were much smaller and weaker in those days, they must have had three men for each sword, or I don't know. They had these big weapons, clubs that were, you know, with spikes all over them. These are the wonderful instruments that men would kill each other with. But, hey, this was, you know, big metal thing. It would take, a big muscle-bound man just to pick it up. What to speak of fight with it dexterously. You know, it's not like... You have three arrows in your head by the time you can lift it up. You got to be able to pick it up and boom. So it just doesn't jive, as they say. Doesn't correlate with. What they're trying to sell us. It's very interesting. You go to Epcot Center in Disney World in Florida, and apart from the ride section where they have the roller coaster and Mickey Mouse and all of that, they have this Epcot, which is an exhibition put on by various countries. So many countries have their representative, they'll have a building, a big building. I mean, it's a huge place, many acres. And each country will have a big building. And you go in and it's a whole display of the country's culture and background, and it's electronic. There's usually some kind of show with a film about the country. And, you know, they're getting at least, you know, close to 200,000 visitors a day. So, not every place, but I'm saying the whole Epcot Center gets around 200,000 visitors a day, especially in the summertime. But Florida's pretty sunny all year long. And they have one right at the very beginning. It's a big, it looks like a giant football. It's silver in color, and it's got cross bars crossing each other. Have you seen that? You know that big, it's giant. And inside,
they have a whole exhibition. They have a train. You sit in a train, a little on a track, you know, a specially made kind of train. And then the train immediately goes. What happens is you go up all the way around through the ball, the train track goes. And it's an exhibition of how man has evolved from Aborigines to modern man, and how formerly people were superstitious and tried to solve their problems by religion and various things, but now technology will solve all your problems. And very soon we expect to create life in the test tube or whatever nonsense they talk. And it's amazing how they skip by India. Practically the only thing you see about India on your little train ride through is an elephant and some guy with a turban, you know. These are like doll, it's like little dioramas on the side with lighting effects and everything. They have so much for technology, and in the end you see a whole Star Wars presentation. But for India, it's almost like India never happened, you know. 3,000 or 4,000 years of civilization. Just pass over. Practically, it's diabolical. Anyone who's ever lived in Asia, lived in India, or even other countries, can understand that this is, it's a plot. American, what's the right word? Chauvinism. Even more than, well, it's definitely got its American flavor, but it's demoniac. Any other questions? Anybody wants to know the truth? I'm leaving it up here.